The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We're back for the second hour of the show at 10:02. So good to have you along on this beautiful Saturday. And if you're new to Colorado, when you see the weather forecast that says we will be in the 40s with snow by Tuesday, baby, you better believe it. That is the way it goes around here. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to it. I just love the changes. Really makes it a tough decision, though. I've got a speaking engagement in Pueblo with the Pueblo County Republicans tonight, and do I ride the Harley down there as we run out of good motorcycle riding time, or just cruise down? And anyway, I guess I can figure that out all by myself. Got a great guest coming up, Director Joel Gilbert. Been talking about him in the first hour, the Trayvon hoax. We'll be giving away some of those DVDs at the Arapaho Tea Party meeting on Tuesday at 6:30. Which you can find tickets for at Eventbrite. We've got to do a ticketed event now because we've been standing room only, and we've got to be able to keep track of how many people are coming in and out. We also have an announcement in just a second about a very important Stop the COVID Chaos drive rally, a car parade coming up. But I just want to tease you with this. We'll play a little more of it in just a few minutes.
You're a big joke, screaming in the store, trying to be a good sheep all day. You got cloth on your face, want a mandate, spreading your fear all over the place. I'm saying, we will mock you.
Yeah, that thing is great. And we're going to play more of it when we have some time. But before we get to our great guest, I do want to check in with Julie real quick on line three about a very important parade coming up, or car rally. Julie, good morning.
Good morning, Randy.
Lay it on me. I've got a guest, but I'm very excited. It's a week from Sunday. We'll have you on again Monday when I fill in for Peter Boyles. We'll have you on again next Saturday to tell people where to meet up. But give everybody the skinny on what's happening Sunday, September the 13th.
Awesome. Yes, we have a lineup of awesome speakers at our rally point, which will be announced at 8 a.m. on Sunday, September 13th. The event does not start until 1 o'clock, but we're giving people 5 hours to know where the rally point is and to meet up. And after the speakers speak, then we will be doing a caravan type of protest in vehicles from there.
So similar to our Stop the COVID Chaos political protest rally at Bandimere last Tuesday night, this will be a car march to end the madness.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, please decorate your cars, bring your flags, share on social media. There's flyers out there on the Facebook event that people can print and share, so spread the word. We want to disrupt Denver.
All right, what's the website if people want to keep track on this thing and mark it on their calendar?
So they need to go to the Facebook event that is Car March to End the Madness. The website is a bit.ly link, so it's HTTPS.
Don't bother. We'll just send people to the Car March to End the Madness, and then they can link up to it there. We'll talk to you again Monday morning on the Peter Boyle Show, and next Saturday, the day before the actual event.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Julie. All right. Julie's line is open, and the number's 303-696-1971, 696-1971. Eric, everybody else sit tight. I want to welcome in someone who's become a friend, have had the opportunity to spend time with him and meet him in person at movie premieres that he has done. Fascinating career and history. His latest, The Trayvon Hoax. Producer Joel Gilbert joins us this morning. Joel, how are you, sir?
Hi, Randy. Great to be back. Thank you.
I am so sorry for the time mix-up. I did the time zones wrong when I was making up my calendar, and so sorry to keep you waiting. Thanks for being available.
Great to be here.
You are, I'm certain, often a victim of you're the conspiracy theorist, you're promoting false narratives, and, you know, all kinds of things like that. Is that a pretty normal attack that you're under?
Yeah, I'm kind of in that umbrella of conservative writers and filmmakers that whenever you come out with something that exposes the truth about any subject that the media refuses to look into, rather than looking into the facts to verify and follow up on your information, they simply throw out those kind of pejoratives. And I think with the Trayvon hoax, though, it's got over 200,000 views on YouTube, and it's been out for actually almost a year, that you can see 4,000 or 5,000 comments, the cascade of reviews just by regular folks. Everybody says the research is unimpeachable. George Zimmerman even filed a lawsuit based on the information in my film that's slowly moving along in the Florida courts. So I certainly continue to challenge and ask that all media go ahead and follow up on everything that I came up with, and I think you'll find that the real conspiracy theorists are the mainstream media.
Have you ever heard of the wrap-up smear?
No.
All right, listen to this very short clip from Nancy Pelosi real quick.
Okay.
Call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear, and then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic.
Yeah, it's a tactic. So as I was coming back from the president's acceptance speech at the White House as the newly elected Republican National Committee man, hashtag fake news CNN did a report on me as a Republican high official who is known for conspiracy theories and sexist and Islamophobic comments and things like that. They did this story, and then Tuesday night as we were putting together and local news stations were reporting on a patriotic event to stop the control here in the government, the control by our governor and our public health agencies. This was the way that I was reported on by local news.
This rally. Namely, they believe the governor is acting outside his authority by limiting how many people they can have in attendance.
Vandermeer will be represented by Randy Corcoran, an attorney and radio host known for sharing conspiracy theories and making sexist and Islamophobic remarks. Now, today we ask...
I had never seen it in action like that. But they plan a story, and then your local news begins referring to you as that person. And by the way, I did an interview for them about our political protest, and they asked me about the slam piece from CNN, and I answered them, and they didn't play any portion of that interview when they played the rest of the interview with me during that newscast. So I'm just trying to get people aware of just how dishonest the media is, and you're a living example of that.
Right. Well, look, socialist policies don't work. Liberal policies don't work in all these inner cities that Democrats have been running for 50, 60 years. So all they have is tactics. They don't have actual policies that they can possibly even debate. And one of their biggest tactics they've developed over the last really, it's kind of been going on for 100 years, but the last 20, 30 years has been this tactic of anti-racism. We're against racism. And the socialists and failed socialist policies always try to latch on to movements that are going on, because Americans will never buy into this socialist nonsense. People that go to church, that have jobs, that work, want to send their kids to school, they'll never buy into this nonsense of total government control and all this taxation and ruining the economy. So it started really way back in the 30s. They also tried this tactic of making it an anti-racist movement. But black people then were all very religious. They went to church. They wanted no part of socialism and communism because it was atheist. They also were into love thy neighbor, a Christian principle, as opposed to this race and war between the classes. That gave way later to anti-war of World War II. They tried getting in on the anti-Vietnam movement, anti-draft, and they settled back in on this anti-racism stuff really in the 80s. Barack Obama was in on it. He was brought into Chicago by Bill Ayers of Weather Underground fame to head up this thing called the Developing Communities Project, which was meant to use Obama as a front man to go into these black churches and get them into these socialist organizations in Chicago. And they've pretty much developed this anti-racism thing ever since. So if you look behind the anti-racism, we're for civil rights nonsense that they, it's not nonsense, but they use that as a front, you see what Black Lives Matter is. It's a revolutionary socialist movement that wants to overthrow the U.S. government, no different from the SDS and Weather Underground in the 60s.
And their own leaders admit it. You know, that 2015 interview of the woman who talks about her, you know, that they're trained activists, that they're Marxists, and they don't make any bones about it.
Right, and I'll tell you, even a lot of people don't know this, but the Black Lives Matter was founded by a group called the Dream Defenders out of Florida. You can go to their website, dreamdefenders.org. That was founded by Palestinian Arabs that said they wanted to teach black Americans the art of intifada, meaning to riot and burn and loot if anything happened. So Black Lives Matter was a little bit of a rebranding from the Dream Defenders that came out of the Trayvon Martin case when Zimmerman was exonerated by the jury, having previously been exonerated by the local police. That was the excuse to start this Black Lives Matter movement. And there's just a profound misunderstanding in the general public and the media that the slogan Black Lives Matter, no one has a problem with, but the problem is they're not a civil rights organization. They're a revolutionary communist socialist organization that really started and continues to create a crime wave in America rather than a civil rights movement.
Yeah, and we have, you know, the moms who show up at either to protest, for instance, a pro-police rally that we might do in one of our suburban cities. They'll show up with their stroller full of kids and their Black Lives Matter sign, and they believe that they're being, you know, they're virtue signaling how good they are because they're in their minds, they're protesting against improper, you know, violent treatment of blacks at the hands of police or whatever. They have absolutely no idea that what they're actually doing is promoting this Marxist domestic terrorism. And I used to make excuses for them, but I just, you can't do it anymore because the violence is accelerating and it's going to get worse before it gets better as we come up on this election. And when Trump wins in what may become a landslide, the way these poll numbers are trending, there may be another explosion of violence. Although I think the response of governmental authorities, including the feds, will be quite different at the beginning of a second Trump term than they are during the run-up to a re-election.
Right. Well, let me point out, look, this whole thing is based on a fraud. Blacks and whites both rated race relations as positive, like 70% to 30, back in 2012. We elected a black president twice. So I grew up in Tennessee in the 70s and 80s. I never heard the N-word. Black and white kids, we were all friends, still friends to this day. So this idea that suddenly we're divided racially was a complete fraud. And it started with the Trayvon Martin case where you had this incident where tragically this teenager was killed who was beating the daylights out of somebody. And they completely, the media lied about the case. Of course, Barack Obama got into it. If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. And I discovered in my film, The Trayvon Hoax, as you introduced me, that in fact, the key witness, people remember Rachel Gentel, the plus-sized Haitian-American girl that came forward after Zimmerman was exonerated. They came up with this, Benjamin Crump came up with this witness that he said was Trayvon's girlfriend. They were dating. She was 16 years old. Her name is Diamond Eugene. And then the police come to interview this girlfriend, and it's 18-year-old Rachel Gentel who says, oh, I lied about my name, I lied about my age. And they use this person to completely contradict all the eyewitnesses and physical evidence to get Zimmerman arrested. And what I did in my film, and I wrote a book of the same name, The Trayvon Hoax, I showed that this girl was a fake. She was an imposter. There really was a girl named Diamond Eugene. I found her. She's in the movie. And I exposed the entire fraud, how they used this to get Zimmerman arrested and start this Black Lives Matter division of America, all based on a complete fraud. And Benjamin Crump was the ringmaster. He was in on it. And so was Sabrina Fulton, by the way. Trayvon's mother was in on it. She knew about it. By the way, she just bit the dust and lost her election running for Miami-Dade commissioner in Miami. She lost by only 300 votes. So I was pleased to see that. I think people hopefully were aware that she was part of this and her race baiting during the campaign. And ever since the last 8 years, she runs around the country saying, you know, you can't even go get a drink without being shot down. All this racist nonsense. And she was rejected by the voters in Florida. And the film is, you know, done pretty well, and people are aware of it. But unfortunately, as I predicted, the Democrats pivoted back to what I call the Trayvon hoax. The Trayvon hoax is where they take an incident completely out of context. They claim it was racist, even though there's no evidence for it. And then they come up with all these demands to change policy. That happened in Ferguson, Missouri, complete hoax, the hands up, don't shoot thing, on and on. And unfortunately, we saw kind of a repeat of it, that Greg Floyd situation didn't look good on camera, but he probably looks like the coroner said he did not die of asphyxiation. It had to do with fentanyl overdose. And, of course, Crump and Sharpton get in on it, and they repeat the exact same formula that they did back in 2012 with the Trayvon hoax. So I think my film has made some inroads, but unfortunately this false narrative kind of marches on.
It's incredible. And, you know, 220,000 views is terrific, but it needs to be 2.5 million views,
yep.
You know. And you sent me a link. I got to watch it on a flight back from the East Coast months ago now.
Right.
And it's a fascinating bit of filmmaking. And by the way, thanks in advance from our Arapaho Tea Party folks for the DVDs that we'll be giving away at our meeting on Tuesday night.
Sure.
But I guess the question is, you know, Benjamin Crump, that name's so easy, Benjamin, you know, Crump the Chump versus Al Not-So-Sharpton or Jesse Jerkson. I always like to have a little fun with people who are race baiters and just so obvious in the damage that they're doing to our society and to race relations for their own profit. But what is the value of people understanding the Trayvon hoax right now in these particularly troubled and violent times that everyone's trying to blame on, you know, the Trump administration, as we're now just 8 weeks and 3 days away from the reelection?
You know, look, the Trayvon hoax shows you that the media lies all the time, and that there are certain agendas, political agendas, that want to exacerbate race relations, and they want to do so because they want to get minorities to vote for Democrats to protect them. That's what the Trayvon hoax is. It's this lie that there's armed white men in the streets that are looking to shoot you because of your skin tone. And what they did is they created a racial scapegoat in George Zimmerman. He's the racial scapegoat for this, what's going on. And that's what's happening on a national level as well. We had, of course, you know, the Zimmerman racial scapegoat was Sabrina Fulton, Trayvon's mother. That was the racial scapegoat, the fact that she kept kicking him out of the house every time he got suspended from school. Rather than locking him down and grounding him and trying to work with him and help him, she'd kick him out on the street, and he got into another fight. So this was the racial scapegoat that they created, and they made a lot of money from the Homeowners Association. Sabrina Fulton got a book and movie deals, tried to make a political career out of this racial scapegoat. So what we see in the all across these cities in urban America that are controlled by Democrats, the policies are terrible. Education, terrible. Drug cultures, people on welfare, single families, on and on, no safety. And instead of saying our policies are terrible, we need to change these policies, they make a racial scapegoat. And the racial scapegoat in this case is America. America is the racial scapegoat for terrible Democrat Party policies. So when people see this film, they see that this all started in 2012 with this Trayvon hoax, really the modern era of fake news, where they just run with a lie and just run with something even though it wasn't true without looking into any facts. I just went into the state of Florida public records And right away I could tell that Rachel Gentile was a fake witness. She wasn't the real girl. It took me a few months to go through all the records and find her. But the media didn't want to know. So the era of fake news started, the era of racial division, all based on a hoax, and hoax after hoax. And I think the film just wakes people up. The biggest fans are black teenagers. I get emails and comments all the time. They say, oh, my God, I grew up with this Trayvon stuff. I have a black son, and I was afraid for him to grow up in America. We got played. We got played. I'm furious. So they're the ones that suffered the most from all of this, is the black youth, who were afraid to go out of their house, some of them. And it divided us for no reason. So really the message of the film is brotherhood, that black and white Americans were all brothers under this great nation of liberty, this constitutional republic, and we should not allow people with political agendas to divide us.
Democrats think that the black population and other minority groups are just so stupid, don't they?
Look, they've successfully manipulated the inner cities with large urban communities of black people into voting for them over and over and over, even though their policies don't benefit them. So they've certainly been led to believe that they can just make up just about anything, any race hoax, any racial scapegoat to avoid scrutiny of what their policies have done to black America. And I think, they won't stop till people get a clue. And I think hopefully my film went a long way to educating people.
And yet here on the Friday, September 4th edition of the Rasmussen poll, you've got Donald Trump 4 points above where Obama was at this term and at this point in his reelection. Trump at 52% job approval and 45% among black population, 57% among other non-white and likely voters approving of the job performance of Donald Trump. That is a big deal, and this is really, to me, explains why the Democrats, they're throwing everything they've got, fake news stories, just everything, the violence they're having to now kind of pull that back because the polls, it's part of the reason that Trump is on such a surge right now. But this is desperation because they're losing the minority vote support that they've always counted on in prior presidential elections. I think that bodes well for the president.
Well, look, I think I met a lot of black Americans in my film. There's no place like Utopia. I would run around Chicago and Detroit and Denver and talk to a lot of these inner city folks. And the black folks I spoke to, they did not want legalization of marijuana. They wanted more police. They did not want illegals coming in and, taking over their jobs. They were like conservative, Tea Party meeting, just talking to people in the inner city. They supported Obama. They got sucked into it because he was black. They supported Obama, but when you talk to them, they don't want anything to do with his policy. So Obama was a kind of a front man for the radical left, and he succeeded a great deal, getting elected twice with some help from the IRS to suppress the Tea Party movement, and tried to get Hillary, of course, elected with some help from the FBI, CIA, and DOJ. That one didn't work out, though. And, black people are no fools. I think they get it by now, and they see that the path to success, the path to prosperity and happiness is embracing American values. And just because you put the face of a slogan, Black Lives Matter, or these anti-racism slogans, when you look behind it, it's a radical liberal agenda that is based on socialism and communism and has nothing to do with black Americans.
Joel Gilbert, the big issue that I always hear from in the black community is life, too. I mean, there's no segment of our society that has been more harmed by the taking of innocent life in the womb, and a significant majority of the black population is incredibly strongly pro-life, and that's another strong negative for these folks. So there is a great rap song that was put together from folks who watched your movie. There's great commentary from Jack Cashill and other places.
Right.
And where is one-stop shopping for folks who want to get access to the DVD or watch it online and also see some of this commentary and some of the fun that's come out of people who've had their eyes opened by the Trayvon hoax?
Sure. Well, first thing is go to thetrayvonhoax.com, thetrayvonhoax.com. You can watch the trailer, and temporarily I've got a free link right there below the trailer. You can link over to YouTube and actually watch the entire movie for free. You can see 4,000 comments. Go over to Amazon. I've got a book version, which is much more in-depth and a lot more background. Definitely worth getting the book and also the DVD, please. Even if you do watch the film online, if you could support me and get the DVD and share it with somebody. So the TrayvonHooks.com has all the background information, Q&A, trailer, and a link to the film.
Appreciate your time this morning, Joel. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we will definitely be in touch.
All right. Thanks for having me today.
God bless you, sir. It's 10:26. We got to take this break. Eric and Linda and Sean, everybody sit tight. We'll do phone lines all the way to the top of the hour. We'll spend a few minutes with one of my dearest friends now, John Vandermeer Jr., at the top of the hour. But it's you and me when we return on 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Ah, the good old days. Welcome back, 10:32, halfway through the show, 28 minutes to go until the top of the hour. We're going to spend the next half hour just you and me on the phones after we have a little fun.
Karen, you're annoyed, you're a big joke, screaming in the store, trying to be a good sheep all day. You got cloth on your face, want a mandate, spreading your fear all over the place and saying, we will mock you. We will mock you. Call me with a trust fund, dumb, crying in the street, gonna defund police someday. You got cloth on your face, it won't stop Mace. Watching you fail brings a smile to my face. We will mock you. We will mock you. Biden, you're an old man, con man, pleading with the herd, sniffing hair and groping kids all day. You got cloth on your face, sheltered in place. Now you want Kamala because of her race. We will mock you. Sheeple! We will mock you. Everybody,
there is more of that. We'll play it at the end of this segment. But you know what? Polls are shifting. People are waking up. We're constantly lied about, mocked, ridiculed, abused, mistreated. Elderly folks wanting to support the police are allowed to be beaten and thrown downstairs at pro-police rallies because mayors and chiefs of police order the street cops to stand down, stand back. And we've had enough of it. Two can play the radical left wings in charge of the Democrat Party game. And you know what? When we play, baby, we play to win. So let's get to the phones right now. We'll start with Eric, and formerly known as Stapleton. Good morning, Eric. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, you great American. How are you?
Good, sir.
I was out of breath, man. I had to get my car shining. I was outside shining my car like your Ferrari and your Ford Fairlane, was it? That was at the Vandermeer?
This is true.
Yeah, and I showed my son-in-law. Oh, Randy, he's a 27-year-old conservative now after the rally, my man.
That is so cool.
He's never been to one. At all. And I pointed them out to you, introduced them to everybody, you know, from the Tea Party,
you know, there's,
and stuff
there's,
like that.
There are psychological studies that talk about, this is why they want to stop, you know, Columbus Day parades and things like that, that when people see American flags going by in parades, that they tend to vote more Republican because they know which party is actually standing up for the history and the strength and the security and the sovereignty of the United States of America.
Randy, that was the first time I've ever been there. It was just flat out fascinating, young man, that there were so many young, in their 20s, in their teens out there. Randy, did you find that fascinating as well as I did?
Absolutely. All age groups, all demographics. You're a black conservative. You were there with your son. Of course, we had the I'm a Trumpster tour bus there with Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas. And people were loving taking pictures of that thing. And with those guys, that is the minority, the Trump minority tour bus going around Colorado now every day between now and the election. I mean, it's just phenomenal, the different kinds and groups of people that come together, because we don't care what religion you are. We don't care who you sleep with or who you love. We don't care the melatonin content of your skin.
You know, just thinking, Randy, my man, it's like my eyes are getting teary-eyed just thinking about how much fun and togetherness and the patriotism. My God, Randy, it was just something special. And your first lady caller, she's concerned about the percentage of all of us black folks that are out there going to vote for Donald J. Trump, Randy. She should just Google or YouTube Candace Owens. And you know, Charlie Kirk, you know,
Turning Point USA.
Yeah, there you go, USA. That's all she's got to do, and she can find out how many black people are for Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, and Brandon Straka, the walkaway movement, tons of minorities. He's a gay hairdresser from New York who thought it was his duty to vote for Democrats. And he's got millions of people that are traipsing around the country with him now. It's just exciting. It's wonderful. And it's so essential, because if Joe Biden, creepy, sleepy, hiding Joe Biden, became president, meaning Kamala Harris would be running things, Alexandria Ocasio no Cortex would be running things, we don't want to live in an America like that, and we're not going to.
That drum don't beat no more, Mr. Corcoran, no more in the black community, young man. Even in the barbershops, Randy, you know. And then I wear my Trump shirts all the time in King Soopers, Safeway, wherever I go. And then the cops, you know, at King Soopers, they're now patrolling they're inside King Soopers. And then I always say, thank you for your service. And then they just give me a fist bump, and they say, man, you got some guts. I mean, why did you say that I have some guts for somebody that I represent wholeheartedly with love? Yeah. I love President Trump.
I hear you.
All right, buddy. Did you get the all the texts that I sent you with the car, my car that my wife sent you? Did you get that yet?
I don't think so, man. We better verify the number.
The 1992 Ford Escort, buddy.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Well, we'll talk about that offline, Eric. I got to fly, man.
All right, buddy. God bless.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to address that massive crowd at the Stop the COVID Chaos rally. And I was wearing my red Trump hat, my white Ferrari shirt, and my blue jeans. And I said, you know, the only requirement to be here is a love of red, white, and blue, and just, you know, pointed to my own colors. But it's we are a colorblind party. The left is so desperate to characterize us as something that we simply are not. We're the people who believe in your right to practice your religion or not, believe in your right to sleep with or be around or be in love with whoever you choose or not. The party, and again, I'm setting aside religious prescriptions or people's individual morality or tastes or whatever. We don't want the government telling us what to do unless it comes down to saving babies inside the womb. There's no one to speak up for them. So anyway, do we have time for one more, Jim? I guess we do. Let's get to Linda on line two. Everybody's been waiting so long. Linda, good morning.
I love you. Thank you for being you, and how exciting there to be and see Trump and all that excitement, how spiritual and empowering that was. And then you go outside and there it was hell, you know, I'm telling you. But anyway, thank you. And I just want to say, these Democrats, you know, they are evil. They are so evil. I can't believe it. They act like they're possessed with the hatred they have for our president, you know. And these people on all these news stations, Andrew Hill and all them, I won't watch them. It's like all these people that are following the Democrats that gave them their brains, and they go, think for me, do for me. Tell me when to bend over, okay? Yep. Tell me what to do, and we'll do it. You know, it's so ignorant, hey. You know. And I'm just, that Nancy Pelosi, man, have you ever heard of those howling monkeys, you know, those howlers, you know? They're really loud and obnoxious. I call her the howler of the house.
Hey, Linda, I've got a quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
What are you watching on your TV?
Oh, is it loud? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, you know what? I have this on all the time, yeah. And I don't even think. But anyway.
That's okay. I'm just teasing you, but thanks for waiting. Thanks for waiting. And we are at the break. I really do appreciate your call. And Linda's line is the only open line we have now, 303-696-1971. I'll play another minute or so of that song. It gets even better into the second half when we come back, and we'll jump right back on our phone lines as we look forward to a conversation with my dear friend John Bandemir here at the top of the hour. I'm Randy Corporan, your pumped up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism, and you're listening to 710 KNUS. This is a good day full of sunshine and good times. 81 degrees in Aurora, 82 degrees in Denver. We'll be into the 90s, maybe 100 degrees with snow scheduled for Tuesday. And highs in the 40s. I just love it. All right, it's 10:47. We've got about 18 minutes to go until the top of the hour. We'll spend a few minutes with John Bandemir, but we will also continue lots and lots of open lines. It's my favorite thing to do here with you on Saturday mornings. I will be back if you don't get on today. I hope you'll check in Labor Day morning when I'll be filling in for Peter Boyles from 5 to 9, 4-hour show. Lots of opportunity to talk. Before we jump back to the phone, Cedric wants to talk about Joel Gilbert, interested to hear what he has to say. But let us not forget.
Sheeple, we will mock you. Everybody, we will mock you.
Okay, well, I guess I pulled up a different version, so that wasn't as much fun for the second half as I wanted. We'll replay the first part of that song again in the 11 o'clock hour. Right now, though, it's time to get back to the phones with full lines. Let's go to line two to talk about the interview we just had with the maker of the Trayvon hoax documentary, Joel Gilbert. Good morning, sir. Welcome. Cedric, are you there?
Oh, you have Charlene instead.
Oh, hey, Charlene. Oh, okay.
Oh, Cedric.
All right.
Well,
hey, I'm going to throw you back on hold. Hold on just one second. I'm so sorry. Shoot, I just dropped her instead of putting her on hold. Charlene, I hope you'll call back. Cedric, good morning.
Yeah,
my apologies.
My voice changed the difference.
Yeah.
I was listening to your guest, and I was wondering, like, with all the, you know, cities like Chicago, Detroit, and you know, et cetera, Where are the Republicans? Because it seems to me it's like they conceded cities to the Democrats. For almost, you know.
I'll tell you, man. You know, I've been a Tea Party guy now since the inception of the Tea Party. So what, going in 11, 12 years, something like that. And it's been a constant question as I've been getting to understand the people in the Republican Party and try and influence leadership in the Republican Party. And now, according to the media, a high official Republican in Colorado as committee man, it's always been the question. And I know Steve House has been working on minority communities in CD6, and not just as, you know, because I'm trying to, you know, placate or patronize or whatever, but because it is so important to go in and reach people and show them who you are and explain to them why your policies are better than others. And it really does seem like we have ceded these inner cities especially, but these cities, these metropolises to the Democrats. I don't understand it, but Donald Trump has turned that on its ear.
Or maybe I think I always look at it from away from the movie The Warriors at the beginning of the scene where like the gang, where the gang leader has all the gangs together for the summit, and the line is, "Can you count suckers?"
Yeah.
And I always just thought it has stuck with my mind. Maybe it's the reason why. It's because the Democrats can count, or maybe it's just that.
Now, if I remember from your prior calls, you're a black conservative, correct?
Well, I consider myself a centrist.
Okay. All right. And who will you vote for, if you don't mind me asking, who will you vote for president?
I probably will vote for Trump. It's the lesser of what you might say two evils.
All right. And what makes Joe Biden, besides his expanding dementia, more evil than Donald Trump in your mind?
Well, I think Biden falls into that trap of it's his turn, which has their downfall or something like that. Because interesting, because those who are like in the spotlight politically, they will get what you might say the notification, the press, and everything else. And it's always been that way, that if a candidate who doesn't win the party's nomination before or loses the election, they are automatically made into the front runner.
Yeah. So it has nothing to do with the policies or the raging economy under Trump before the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus hit us, or any of that. It's just because you're sick of the parties handing you their next one in line.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough, Cedar. Hey, I appreciate you waiting and weighing in. God bless you, sir, and thanks for listening to the show.
Thank you.
All right, Cedric's line is open, 303-696-1971. Charlene was kind enough to call back. Let's go to her now. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Randy. I hope I'm not messing up your continuity on this subject, but I caught you this morning, and I just now got in on what we should call Kyle Clark.
Yeah.
And I think we should call him hashtag punk Kyle Clark, because that says it all. But also,
I feel like the fake news needs to be in there. But are you saying because
it does need to be in there?
Yeah.
When people are looking for fake news, it will come up. I know, but that does make it long. Or we could just call him CNN worthy Kyle Clark.
Well, what about this argument? What about this argument that, listen, I've spent, you know, some time in two shows now talking about these clowns, when there is so much great news, there's so much work to do, there's so much to point out, you know, that's brand new on the front page, pages of, you know, that is interesting to people, like, for instance, California wanting to pass a law to normalize pedophilia.
Exactly.
That we should be focusing on those and not talking about these personalities. What do you think about that?
Exactly. I think that's a great idea, because their condescending we tone, you know, that they maintain, that they like they are in the majority, and in their tone you can detect that they realize they're not in the majority, and so they're pushing their argument stronger to the point where it's just a bad look. So whenever I listen to Kyle Clark now, I'm like, you know, you're not telling what you really, really believe, you know, and that's coming across to the audience at large. But they have no option but to push it even harder, which makes them look more desperate. But also, what I want to say about you is, and all the activists, y'all move in so many places, you can't hit a moving target like Trump. And I think that really helps your case, whereas the commentators, they're just like taking pot shots. You know, they're sitting in their studios taking pot shots, which is also a bad look for them. And you know, what I'm saying now is the politicians of today, they are earning their stripes. You know, it's like back to the days of Andrew Jackson, you know, when there were duels, you know, where it was really, you know, hands-on, politics back then, where it's gotten really soft recently, and it's made for warriors. And I want to support you in any way I can. I'm contributing to Malcolm's, you know, GoFundMe's and all these, not GoFundMe, but to the causes, because that's where the action is. And we've got to stay behind you, and I'm with you all the way.
That's just wonderful, Charlene, and always such wise perspective. And I appreciate you sharing it with our audience here from out of state. And we really appreciate you listening to our shows.
I'll be back in September.
Cool.
I'll see you then.
Look forward to it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, there's an open line for you, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. We will talk with John Bandemir for just a few minutes at the top of the hour, and then we'll get right back to our raging phone lines. But while the mail came in, and this is just remarkable to me. Here's a beautiful little card, and it says, thanks. We did have the dogs sniff them. We did all the white powder testing, make sure, you know, these weren't lefty mail bombs or something, but beautiful little card says, you are the best. Thanks for everything. And there's a $10 bill inside the card, and it says for the book. And so what that is, obviously, is a donation for the book that I had the blessing of contributing a chapter to. And my chapter is on the media, the outrageous media here in Colorado. But the book is called 2020 Unmasked, or Unmasked 2020, Unmasked 2020. Colorado's Hard Left Turn and a Warning to America. And we're going to have that thing probably out now in a couple of weeks. And so if you still want to help us with it, we hit our target of $8,000, I think, to get it printed. In fact, 2 weeks ago, Jim, I don't know if I told you about this, when I left the show, was walking out to my car, and there was another car in the parking lot, and an elderly lady got out. And she walked over and asked if I was me, and I said, yes, I'm me. And we got to talking, and she said, I want to make a donation. And I had talked about, I don't think we were talking about Bandemir then. We talked about Unmasked 2020. We talked about Stop the Mask Mandate, which is the Pat Neville and Michelle Malkin lawsuit to stop the masking in Colorado. And she said, well, I want to make a donation. She got out a checkbook. She said, I don't use the computer. I don't do online stuff. I want to just leave you a check. And she wrote me a check for $50. And so after we discussed it, she decided she wanted to contribute that to the book. But it just tells you how much it is on people's hearts to be a part of something good and to try and support these efforts to wake people up and get them to understand how they're being lied to in the mainstream media and everything else. So I just want to say, I can't read the name on this thank you card. So, ma'am, I think it's a lady. I don't know. It looks like a lady's writing. But if you can somehow, you know, email me at the show or text me on my cell phone or somehow let me know who you are so I can thank you in person. I still haven't. I deposited the $50 check because she made it out to me, but I will for sure be forwarding that on to the Republican Study Committee of Colorado, which is in Berthoud, P.O. Box 378, Berthoud, Colorado 80513. And if you want to continue to support our distribution of the book that is now being proofed and printed, Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Radical Left Turn and a Warning to America. But just how cool it is to have listeners like you guys. It just warms my heart. You can't even begin to imagine. All right, we do have to take a break. We'll spend a few minutes with John Bandemir on the other side. If you're on the line, sit tight, because we will get right back to your calls. And when somebody drops off, you can jump on at 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. Randy Corcoran here, 710 KNUS.